Welcome to Freed on Business. He grew up in South Florida, has been in business here since the early 90s, and has closed over $1 billion in deals. He's seen it all. He always has an opinion, and he's always ready to share it. Informed, entertaining, and connected, he has his finger on the pulse of South Florida's business community. He's Jim Freed, and this is Freed on Business.
All right. So we're on today. We're on, going to be live today with Casey Conway. And what is the coronavirus impact on commercial real estate with Casey Conway? Casey, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back with you. Unfortunately, it's not the same circumstances when we last talked in Miami and everything was go, go, go.
Well, it's certainly different now, Casey.
Yeah, just so's like the weather. If you hang around long enough, it'll change. And we just have to figure out how to get through what Mother Nature or economic nature now is thrown at us, right?
It is unbelievable, all the things that are going on. But so tell me a little bit, Casey, you've been talking to a whole bunch of people about what's been going on. You're an expert in supply chain. Tell me, what can we expect from commercial real estate? I'm already speaking to people about opportunities that involve hard money lending and all kinds of other things. What are you seeing out there right now?
So a couple or three things. So I would say a few days ago, I was getting very encouraged. We were hearing that things may be peaking in China, that people are coming back to work at the factories and their supply chain. Ships are being loaded and put back to sea. MSC sent the biggest ship that they have in the world to go pick up all the empty containers clogging up LA Long Beach port. So that was good. We were clearing the deck out. We're getting ready to see some ships come in. There was fresh new intel from China that inventories were to the roof because the virus broke out during their Chinese New Year. So they don't have to manufacture. They got stuff ready to go. So I was very encouraged. This thing could be turning around on a supply chain very quickly. And then what did we learn this morning? So we learned this morning that Amazon says, you know what? We're changing the game plan here, folks. We're only going to allow shipments to come into our warehouses that contain inventories of critically needed things like medicines and pharmaceuticals and masks and everything else. Hold your powder, and we're gonna empty the warehouses and deliver only the stuff that's needed in stay in place markets like New York or New Jersey or Washington or California. And so here's my concern: what are we doing to our supply chain? How do retailers that were thinking, well, maybe I didn't do a lot of online, but maybe I figured out real quick, and although people aren't coming to my store, I figure out how to do, you know, Uber Eats delivery or, you know, dry cleaning pickup and whatnot and order online. Those people really are kind of toast right now with Amazon said. So they're literally a couple of weeks away from whatever's in the warehouses being depleted and only being replaced with, you know, the critical needs. So I'm a little concerned about what's going on with our supply chain. And here's where we're seeing some of it play out. So I listened to a great call yesterday, a webinar that Green Street Advisors opened up and did. And they had, you know, some really good people in the REIT world and supply chain world talking. And Green Street was talking about what they're seeing on commercial real estate values. And what they told us is we can't prove it, but our gut is we're in recession. We can't prove it, but our gut is commercial real estate values are probably down 20 to 25% already, and they could go worse from that. The data will play out over time. And then they were saying, you know, we're not worried about warehouses. We're not worried about multifamily. But then as I kind of dig in and look at what's going on in what I call, everybody should be doing the what if analyses. Don't sit back and hope and pray. Also do what if. It's probably the other, if I got to write one of the Gospels of the Bible, that would be the Casey one, the what if ones, you know, instead of Proverbs, it would be the what ifs. And sit back and ask yourself things like this. If I'm a property owner, let's say I own a retail center and it's not anchored by anybody, but it's near an anchored deal. And I've got a dry cleaner, I got a florist, I got an UPS, and I've got some restaurants in there. How are they doing? Are you talking to your tenants? Are you seeing what's happened? So I'm doing that. So I went to my neighborhood center and my dry cleaner's in total panic mode. You know, they work, they get in at 6 a.m. They work till 7 o'clock at night. They have kids. They have no time to watch the news. And she says, where is everybody? Is it spring break? Why is nobody bringing clothes to be cleaned? So I explained to her what's going on, and she says, oh my God, we can't survive 2, 3, 4 more weeks of this. We'll be out of business. And then I go next door, and there's a UPS store. The UPS guy goes, man, we're having, an early tax filing holiday because everybody's in here sending me packages. And I said, where are they going? They're not all going to the IRS, are they? And he starts looking at him. He goes, no, they're going to ABC Senior Center, ABC Assisted Living Center. And he goes, you know what? It looks like everybody's sending packages to grandma and grandpa because they can't go visit them. So he's busier than a bee in the spring. And then the florist is at the other end of the center. I go down and I see the florist, and she's like, man, this is better than Mother's Day. Everybody's in here sending stuff to grandma, grandpa, senior citizens, and aunts and uncles. This is great. So they can't go visit them, so they're sending flowers. Then I go talk to the two restaurants. There's nobody in there. They're ready to lay people off. And so here's my question. If I'm a property owner and I'm looking at that, and I'm talking to my tenants, I know I probably got 40 to 60%. They're only going to make it if they get a rent abatement. So can I do that? What's it going to do to my debt service coverage? If I give 60% of my tenants a rent abatement for 60 to 90 days so I don't lose them and have an empty center that gets foreclosed on, can I make my debt service, or will the bank work with me? Can they do something? Can they give me a line of credit to pay the debt service? And the problem is these what if scenarios, nobody's doing them. So they don't have the answers and they're not armed with the material to go, you know, then lay out, all right, here's what my tenants need. Banker, here's what I need. Here's how we keep the economy going. So the Fed thought it was just lowering rates to 0%, buying a bunch of treasury bonds, get the treasury rate back up there, and all will be good. And I reminded them in a briefing I did on February 25th, don't cut rates. That's not going to solve anything. You're going to need what I called a coronavirus intervention facility. I called it a CIF. And that's kind of what they started to do this week with this corporate paper facility. They realized the banks need a way to help these companies and industries, you know, get this, you know, delinquent or about to be delinquent paper off their balance sheet, put it at the Fed, put it at their discount window. But here's the problem. It can only be the highest quality stuff. So it doesn't help the small business guy. So the small business guy is trying to figure out, is there something that Trump's done in the SBA stuff? And there's all these acronyms and facilities and things that they're doing that they don't understand. And they're figuring out, how in the world do I survive? And also, if my kid's on 9 hours or 8 hours of home online learning because all the schools are closed and all my kids are at home. So people are really stressed. And so that's why I'm saying focus every evening before you go to bed or when you get up on what if. What if XYZ? What if Amazon does what it did today? What if I talk to my banker? What if I talk to my tenants and found out what their stress is and how they can survive? That's what we need to be doing and going toward right now. I don't think a $1,000 check to every American is going to solve anything. But if we can do things like what I think corporate America is doing in a big way, where they're isolating in place or telling employees, you know, don't come in, we'll pay you, you know, for 2 to 4 weeks or give you extended leave. Corporate America is stepping up. But I think our government is still, you know, the people like the Fed are still fumbling around. And I'm worried about that. We don't have time to fumble around. So I'll stop there.
Well, Casey, then what should we do? Because the reality is that something needs to be done. Values in real estate are falling. Small businesses don't have that kind of a lifeline. $2,000 per household isn't really going to help a lot. And the small business people are going to need to go and get immediate help. What if they can't get the rent abatement? What if they, you know, what do they do?
So don't be naive. Don't sit in isolation at the River Denial in Egypt. You know, start understanding these things. So I'll give you a couple of them. So you keep hearing analysis after analysis by, you know, say the realtors or housing association, multifamily is going to be great. No effect to multifamily. And while that may be true for most workforce multifamily, where, you know, a lot of the hardworking lower and middle income people have to live, it's not going to be true for student housing. Guess what I learned with both of my daughters being sent home from university the last week? So when the university makes a broad pronouncement that they're closing and everybody's got to leave, there are triggers in most student housing leases that are analogous to kind of act of God or police power features. So if the government does this or the university does it, they're acting in an authority. It's one of those powers of, you know, that limit real estate. what they do is they trigger these clauses, and landlords don't realize it, and multifamily owners of student housing don't realize all of their students that are being sent home may now have an option to get out of their lease until next fall. So both my daughters, they lost their jobs. The small business said, we can't survive with the university closed. It doesn't even bother to wait till spring break. They're not coming back. They're not going to have commencement exercises. We were dependent on that revenue. And now all the students are gone. So I had my daughters bring home their leases. We go through the leases, and there's provisions that allow us to get out because the university's made this big pronouncement. Or if a city or a state makes a stay-at-home mandate for the Small Business Administration, one of the features is even if you don't have business interruption insurance, what the president's done with SBA and doing this stuff, it triggers the availability of business interruption insurance or funds. Even if you didn't have a specific policy, you can go to SBA and you can get some help. So this is a time where we're all going to learn a lot about all these programs and these funding things. And I think what the president's trying to do is as he looks around and sees, look, there's a $60 billion fund here, a $40 billion fund here, and it's not being used. And if I do a declaration, you know, like close things down or, that triggers business interruption, I unleash that money so that it can go to these folks. But if you don't know about it, if you're not doing what if analysis, if you're not doing strategic thinking, if you're not reaching out and talking to professionals that can help you, a lot of these are, you know, could be your accountants. It could be, you know, like a CCIM or someone at IREM that does property management. These folks know that stuff. And I would encourage you to be interacting and talking to as many people as you can. I'm doing as much as 20 calls a day to whether it's CEOs, government leaders, SBA, bankers, borrowers, about what is going on at Ground Zero, what they need, what's happening, what something means. And I'm trying to share it in my kind of LinkedIn post as, you know, here's something that's happening and here's what you need to know. Let me give you one other example. The National Association of Home Builders released their Home Builders Mortgage Market Index, HMI, yesterday. And it showed, my gosh, it's still almost in record territory at 72. But I compliment NHAB's chief economist. He said, time out. That's going to fall. And it fell a little bit from January. It's going to fall a lot. Here's what you need to know. The people that we surveyed, the builders we surveyed before February 28th, had a totally different optimistic outlook than those that responded after February 28th to the March 6th cutoff date. And what each of them said was something that people aren't focusing on is home builders were having and are continuing to have supply chain disruptions. Most Americans don't realize that most of your faux bathrooms that come into, you know, under $500,000 homes a day all come from China, and they can't get this stuff. So builders are going to find that in construction loans, what kind of disruption do they have? Does it cause a disruption where they can't deliver inventories when they're needed or before their construction loan comes due? And are they going to need a credit intervention to extend that or deal with the supply chain interruption? I thought it was incredibly insightful information in the backdrop of, hey, it's just another great number. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it yet. So that's another example.
So, Casey, we've got a lot of people there. They're afraid. There's a lot of uncertainty. You say that the government's doing stuff that's politically looks good, but may not be totally effective. So it sounds like what we really need to do is just go slow and try to be cautious.
No, I probably disagree, push back on a little bit. So here's the advice. I've given two phrases. So, you know, I'm one of those kids that loved kindergarten, and I hated when we went up to grade school because things got complex and pictures went away. I like pictures. I like simple. So the two phrases I've been using is everybody needs to adopt a look up and forward attitude. If you're not looking up, if you're looking down and you're depressed and you're not doing anything, you have no chance of discovering the light at the end of the tunnel. And so look up, don't curl back up and hide and just hope it's all going to work out. It's not. You got to look up. And every day you got to do actions that move yourself forward. And that could be talking to your tenants. It could be talking to your banker. You've just got to get off the couch and use social media, use your internet email and your phone to do things that are looking forward. Look at, reassess your cash flows. Look at what your cash reserves are. All of those things, look at what you need to do to kind of make it through and weather. The second thing I say is after you do look up and forward, do what if every day. Every day we're finding something new hits. What if this thing doesn't end in May and it goes to July or August? What if Secretary Mnuchin made a real dramatic faux pas last night or this morning where he said, if half of the small businesses, those with less than 500 employees, fail and Congress doesn't get the appropriate stimulus rescue to them, we could see 20% unemployment rate. So what does the media do? Secretary of Treasury says we're going to 20% unemployment rate. That's not what he said. You got to get the filters. You got to go read this stuff and understand. But you know what? What if it does go to 20%? How is your business? How is your career? How is your skill set positioned to survive or to do something? And are you talking to your employer and all these things? So look up and do things that move you forward. Ask the what if questions. Expect every day it's going to be worse. We're seeing the Dow down and market down another 5%, another, 1,200 points. We're down below 20,000 on the Dow. Nobody thought it would go below that. Does it go to 15? Does it go to 10? Don't even open your 401k statement. It's not, those things are going to do you no good. So, those are my recommendations. And then when people tell you that this is going to be okay and unscathed, or this is going to be a disaster, that's where opportunity is created. So don't generalize like multifamily is all going to be unscathed. I think student housing multifamily, especially in university towns, is really going to be impacted. On warehouses, everybody thinks everything's fine because they're on long-term leases and nothing's going to happen and the supply chain's going to be coming. But what happens if Amazon throws a curveball like they did today and mixes up what's going into the warehouses and what can be stored? Do Walmart and other consumer staples retailers follow suit that dominoes what's been going on retail? On hotels, the business is dead. You can't even find a hotel room. Go to Orlando. I mean, there's nobody in the hotels. They've never, with 9/11, maybe they impacted a week or 2 weeks of that, but not months that we're looking at here, or New York. I'm going to New York next Wednesday for meetings, and there's no restaurants. I don't even know if I'm going to get an Uber driver or whatnot, but I'm going to get to ground zero. I'm going to get out there and see kind of what's going on. So don't be an ostrich. Don't bury your hand in the sand. Don't vacation or self-isolate at the River Denial in Egypt. There are things that are happening, and I'll give you one sign of hope. So I follow a lot of logistics and industrial and warehouse people. So I had confidentially an entity share with me a story the other day. So they've been competing, trying to buy some of these triple net lease credit tenant warehouses, and they've been finding hard to compete against the big Prologis and other entities. Well, they said, you know what suddenly happened? All those guys that were bidding these deals at 5 and below 5 cap rates suddenly disappeared. And the merchant developers a little panicked. And so they offered it to me at a 7 cap rate. There's opportunity. It's the same credit. It's going to be filled up. It's a modern asset. You just now picked up, buying an asset on a cap rate that we haven't seen for probably 5 or 7 years. I think the same is going to happen on hotels. We're going to see hotels, really good stuff, trading at half of replacement cost. So if you can find capital, touch base with equity investors, know what things should normalize at, there may be a lot of opportunities out there. It's just going to be a really bumpy ride. And I think this thing's going to take longer rather than shorter. And you know what? This isn't going to be, it isn't the first one, and it's not going to be the last one. And if you want to study a really good case study, forget looking at H1N1 in 2009 or looking at 2008 or 9/11. Go back and look at the polio health crisis. It started in New York in 1916, and it didn't fully end until Jonas Salk gave us the vaccination in 1955. And we had hundreds of thousands of kids a year being paralyzed. Can you imagine how we would have functioned in this world of social media in that kind of environment? So we're I'll leave with one kind of more thought for you, and I'll shut up here. So a great comment I put in a piece today was, this is the first time in modern American history that we're going to face challenges that may rival the bombing of Pearl Harbor, the Great Depression, 9/11, and oil patch, and everything else that's hit us, and we're going to do it without the benefit of the great generation being around. Think of what that great generation endured from, world wars, Great Depression, multiple recessions, energy disruption, incredible technology innovation. They smiled, they moved forward, they created great wealth. We've got to reflect, I think, on how did they do it? What did they do? Go back and find the journals. I've gone back and dug out all my dad's diaries and journals and business calendars from when he got out of the Army Air Corps in 1945, 46. And I've been reading those up through 1955. It's been very, very insightful. So look up and forward. Do every day, or before you go to bed every night, do a series of what if. What if in your personal family, your personal finances, your job, your career, and your business. And start getting yourself prepared and doing strategic thinking.
Wow, that's tremendous stuff. Thank you so much, Casey. We're going to have you on again real soon so we can hear what happened in New York. Really appreciate this.
I'm only talking to ground zero people, people that know what's going on. So whatever I share with you, this is stuff that I'm discovering firsthand. And the only way I'm doing it is I'm talking to real people. I'm getting out. And, poking around my own neighborhood, observe what's going on in your own neighborhood. And this one last thought, guess what's still going on? All those people that are hoarding bottled water at the grocery store, our water systems in most of our cities have pure water than what you're going to buy in a bottled water. They're working. They don't require electricity. So even if the utilities go off, they're gravity or pressure driven. So you got water at home. If you can't find toilet paper at the grocery store, go to Home Depot or Lowe's. They have it. They also have bleach and sanitizer. So we can find supply chain elsewhere. Go to a small town about 30 to 50 miles outside of your major city. Almost every Dollar General discount store has all this stuff. So a lot of the supply chain we're panicking over is just in different places, and we just have to rediscover it. And remember this. The mail is being delivered. FedEx is operating. They delivered decent earnings yesterday. And said, but we're not giving up. We're going to continue to focus on cost containment. The trash is being picked up. The mail is coming. The grocery stores are being restocked. I did a post that showed me going to my Atlanta grocery store at Publix earlier this week when everybody said everything was gone. And there were only three things I couldn't buy: milk, eggs, and toilet paper. Everything else was fully stocked in the store. And by that evening, all of those three things were there. Don't panic. Don't buy 20 cartons of eggs. The grocers and the corporate America are really stepping up and doing a good job on restockpiling. And think about what you can use as alternative products. So if hand sanitizer is out, go buy some lemons, go buy some hydrogen peroxide, go buy some rubbing alcohol. You can make your own mixture to, pour on a napkin and wipe your hands with and be just as fine. So this is what our greatest generation discovered in the Great Depression. How they did things. This is why grandma and grandpa saved nails and mason jars. And my dad kept all tire casings in the attic. So if the house ever caught on fire, it would burn for probably 6 months. They understood you had to adaptively reuse or purpose or think out of the box. Do the what if. What if I can't buy X? What can I use as a substitute? So don't give up. Go back and read in history. And this is a time where we really come together, just like New Yorkers had to do in the 9/11 tower, and they didn't panic and have horrible behavior. And I equate this, in Atlanta, we get an occasional snow day, and it's like everything gets hoarded and nobody has enough food to survive one or two days with ice or snow in Atlanta. This is like a snow day in the South on a national or global level. And we can function. We can survive. And the more we do that and think about that way, I think we'll be fine. And you know what? We're all going to need commercial real estate when we come out of this stuff. And so don't give up on it.
Yeah. All I've been saying for the past couple of years is that there just needs an event where where there is a displacement and there'll be opportunities again. So here we go. Thank you so much.
Be careful about what you pray for. So remember, we've been praying for housing affordability. Sometimes God answers our prayers in different in ways we don't really appreciate. God just may have given us housing affordability out of this crisis. So, you know, be careful about what you're praying for. But we may see a lot of housing affordability result from this thing. So just keep thinking. Don't get down. Just keep, you know, asking the why questions. What if? And I think you'll find a lot of good answers to survive. And if not, I'm here, you're here. That's what we're trying to do is help people with their needs and their problems. And ours happens to be real estate concentric, but the same principles and activities and behaviors apply across all industries.
Well, listen, all I could say is thank you so much for calling in and giving us that update. I, like you, am continuing to call everybody all day long. I'm not sitting at the river denial. And I am calling and asking people what they have, what they're working on, what problems they have, and seeing if there's something there that I can solve with things that I know. And I think that that's the best tip we can give to everybody is keep in touch with your close contacts and see how you can move forward with them. Thank you so much, Casey Conway. And I'll be touching base with you in the next day or two to set up your next appearance here as we keep getting the good information out to people and tamping down the hitting the brakes on panic and focusing on common sense and reality.
Well, I appreciate that. And you're my favorite Florida problem solver. So I'm listening all the time. You're a great problem solver that helps us in Florida.
Thank you so much. I look forward to doing that. Casey Conway, we'll be back right after the break with Becca Carlson. We're going to be talking about getting your message out in today's circumstance with everybody's channels being all confused. Again, thanks so much to Casey Conway. And Casey, got to say it to my friend from Alabama, keep on rolling.
Roll Tide.
All right. Take care. Casey Conway, the man with not necessarily the answers, but some great information and some great perspective. We'll be talking to him again in a couple of weeks. Thank you so much, Casey Conway. All right. All right. We're going to give it a Reagan, and then we're going to be right back with Becca Carlson talking about how to operate your marketing in this disjointed circumstance. More great information you can use to make your life better right after this. Hey, everybody, when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. Up in Gainesville, they've got Audi. Down in the Keys, they've got them all. What do they have in common? Well, they're all exceptional cars, and they all come with a Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary service loaner, dynamic wheel protection, key replacement, guaranteed purchase offer, best value guarantee, and, of course, 72-hour exchange. You can take a full 3 days to be certain. Love your Warren Henry vehicle. So join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be too. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway.
Ugly.
Stupid.
Dweeb.
Useless. Weird.
Slow.
Things that should never be said.
Shut it down.
We are all beautiful.
We are strong.
We are powerful.
Be loud.
Be proud.
We have the power to put an end to bullying.
So go ahead. Be you. Be bold.
Be different. Be brave.
Choose to stand up against bullies.
Choose kindness.
Choose kindness.
Choose kindness.
Hi, this is Jim Fried. I'm the founder of Sandstone Realty Advisors. If you need financing, give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why would you do that? Well, I help families all across South Florida execute their real estate plans. I recently helped one family in downtown Miami sell their land to one of the big national developers. I helped another client up in Fort Lauderdale. He needed to liquefy his portfolio. We did that for him in less than a month. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's all about you.
If I leave here tomorrow.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Freed on Business. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter at Jim Freed or at Freed on Business, and on Instagram at Jim Freed One. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're back, and we're back with Becca Carlson. Becca is the one that helps me look good online and helps me reach out to everybody on a regular basis. Welcome back, Becca.
Hey, great to be back, Jim.
Yep. Christy's watching. She can hear me, but she can't hear you. We've got a whole big mess going on the communication end here. Facebook changed its interface on us. I'm having a problem inviting people to watch. People can't hear. So we need, Regan's got the whole thing on tape. So it'll all be good when we put it up on the web and get it syndicated. So that's not really an issue, but the live broadcast is an issue. I need my whole team to get together this week and focus on this, because we've been having a problem for the past few weeks on this, and I think it's just something we need to do. We solved something today. We got Twitter to broadcast live today, which it didn't do last week, so we got that better. We've got our YouTube tape, so we're going to be taping on YouTube. I know Reagan is thinking about maybe doing Facebook, Zoom, Facebook. I don't really know what that means, and I don't blame him. It's just that the world keeps changing, and it's incredible. You would think that they would want to facilitate activity like this rather than defeat it. And if they're going to change things, you would think that they would let people know how to use their site platform more efficiently. So it's just very confusing to me. In the meantime, we keep getting thousands and thousands of hits, and that's why we're talking today. So, Becca, tell me a little bit about what's been going on with the marketing of the show and the traction we're getting and how you're doing that, because I'm really impressed.
Well, thank you so much, Jim. Just, I really appreciate the opportunity to be here and to talk about the social media and what we're learning from changes in consumer behavior and how those are changing how we review social media analytics. What we're finding is that there are so many ways that things continue to evolve and change. And of course, we know that we're in an industry where we see that, but understanding the cumulative impact of those changes, whether it's like your situation today where there is a surprise snag on a process that has been working consistently well that you weren't notified of, or even I hosted a broker breakfast this morning and we did it all on Zoom because suddenly we can't meet in person, and 50% of the people on that call had no idea how to
use Zoom.
Involved in it. Exactly.
So they don't even know what Zoom is.
At the same time.
So I don't either, sort of. It's something that came in and then became totally pervasive. I'll tell you my most amazing technology story, and it'll show how old I am, but I don't care. I had to get something across the country. I had to do it in a couple days. Back in the day when I started, there was something called a thermal fax. Okay, so then one day FedEx introduced Zap Mail, they called it. They had a fax machine. My office got one 3 days later. Zap Mail lasted for 3 days. So the point is, that's how fast the right technology can get through the system when it's the right thing. So we just need to find the right technology to do what we're doing. And I think that there's going to be a lot of technology providers that are going to facilitate this. We're going to talk with Andrea Senni next week about how Real Estate Collaborative has just taken off and become a place where people are coming together, not only individuals, but institutions to do real estate transactions. We're going to help with him. It's interesting how when I had Ethan Penner on my show a number of years ago, we talked about the fact that the Jobs Act was generating all of these investment opportunities through crowdfunding. And he indicated that crowdfunding wouldn't take off until there was a technology situation that was requiring it. Well, here we are. There's a technology challenge, and the technology challenge is going to require this collaborative online behavior. And Andreas is in the right spot. You're in the right spot. I'm in the right spot. And Regan is nodding and now laughing.
Absolutely. I was actually reading an article that Andreas had put on LinkedIn last night, and it occurred to me that what we used to refer to as the virtual world is actually the real world now.
Yes.
That is where transactions are happening. That is where conversations are being had and business is being done, because it cannot be done in person. It's kind of a very unique situation that we're finding ourselves in. And I think that it's going to have a tremendous impact on consumer behavior. And that's where your show comes in.
Wow. Well, 100%, because people are changing the way that they do things. Now, I am a person who, by circumstance, is lucky and well prepared for this. I've been working from home since I started. Well, not since I started, but 2 years into Vivian's kidney transplant, I started working at home. So I've been working at home for 4 years. I've been sharing space with different people. I worked on their conference table a little bit. But what I found is that if you operate in your home, and look, you can still go to the coffee shop and sit 5 people away, 5 feet away from somebody. So, you know, it's a way to do business. I do a lot of stuff on the telephone. I had a meeting in Orlando on Thursday. I went in my car, used a bunch of wipies, didn't touch anybody, met the guy one-on-one in his office, thought that was pretty okay. So it's not like it's changing all that much. It really isn't. The way to do this is already out there. It's already been experimented with. It's just that needs to be adapted by the rest of the mainstream.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that we have been seeing, and this is going to continue to evolve. We have been seeing that consumers had changed their behavior on social media. So instead of liking posts, they've been just scrolling. And now is the time that with so much of the population not commuting, not driving, that we are seeing an increase in social media use by consumers. We believe that social media is going to be an important forum for determining the future of a business and the future of any business's relationships with consumers and with their clients. And that includes businesses and in a B2B market.
You know, it's the only way you can meet now.
Exactly. Exactly. And the next thing I was going to say is that the analytics that used to drive our understanding of whether we're effective on social media, those were interactions, those are engagements, they're clicks, likes, things like that. They're becoming far less common because now it's becoming a primary news and information source. And people are taking it for granted that they like it and they're happy to have it. They don't need to say, I love you every time you walk in the room. They're just scrolling and they're still seeing and there's still impressions that are being made. And so now those impressions are what we want to be tracking.
Fascinating. So then let's talk about the radio show as an example. We've seen that the impressions when I was running for city commission were up over 6,000. They declined a little as I got out of the public eye and had less external sources driving people to my website. So how are we going to get that back up again? It's now at what, 4,500 to 5,000 a week, I think. It's only dropped off like 10%,
15%. So, you know, your page views is really exciting. And it's a great case study. And I'm actually using it on a webinar this afternoon as my case study. Incomplete analytics tell the wrong story. And so if we had been just utilizing social media analytics of likes and engagement, and as consumer behavior trends have changed, of those dropping down to maybe 5 to 10 per post instead of 20 or 30 or things like that, we could have been seeing that what we're doing in the combined efforts of eBlast and social media is ineffective. But the truth is, since we started promoting your show and we've had the opportunity to work together for a year, since we've taken over and had, you know, this consistent ongoing growth of your show, it has actually increased in page views on the static page of your website for each show. Each show gets its own page. It has increased 500%. So when we go back a year ago,
Wow.
So you actually used to have like 700-800 page views. So your show has grown tremendously. It's been on an exponential trajectory over the past year. And then when we think about
congratulations.
I think it's because your show's so awesome. You get all the credit here. It's because you're so awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to self-actualize. I'm having a self-actualization moment now. Oh man, that's tremendous stuff. You need good news in days like this.
Well, you know, there's nothing but good news in recognizing when you hit your stride and in having the analytics that actually can guide our future content. And one of the exciting things about looking at the page views and having this holistic view of analytics, so pulling in eBlast analytics, social media analytics, and also your online website page views, and now we get to start pulling in podcast analytics from all of those platforms, we can use that to guide content. So we actually get to get a really clear view of what the audience really likes the best and wants to hear about the most.
Ooh, well, you better be telling me that.
Well, interestingly enough, given the geographic concentration of your audience, I was really excited to see how popular your shows were and how high your page view count was when you were running for office. And one of the reasons for that, I truly believe, is that your community loves you. Your community loves what you have to say about Miami. So making sure that we're incorporating content that's Miami-centric, that talks about the community, that talks about the problems and the solutions, and you're always finding solutions. So incorporating more of that, because we recognize that that's something that's really important to your listeners.
Wow, that's tremendous stuff. You better be making sure that we talk about that tonight or tomorrow with Christy and start doing some rejiggering of the programming. In fact, on the show, I'm going to ask, maybe you and Christy and I can talk on Thursday or Friday and review some guest schedules and put together a nice 2 or 3 months, because we want to make sure we get Casey Conway on once a month now talking about this stuff. It's great information for people. It'll keep them calm and at least thinking. I think your stuff about Miami-centric stuff, we did a great show last week. It was sort of Miami-centric, but still applicable to the rest of the universe. This is applicable. And, you know, maybe we'll get some people on to talk about how they're dealing with coronavirus here in Miami. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But I think that that's tremendous knowledge. What other things are you finding from reviewing our stuff?
So another thing that I'm finding, and it's certainly not something that is new for you, is that you have knowledge in multiple sectors and you leverage it all the time to help people. And considering that we have this amazing show that is very client-centric, and you have Sandstone Realty Advisors, which is 100% client-centric, I was thinking about some of the changes that you have made or opportunities that you have come across at Sandstone, and I'm trying to figure out if there's some ways that we can incorporate some of what you're doing there into the show. Just as an example, I am self-employed. I have a company, and I don't have any paid employees. I have 1099 staff. And you now have a loan program that actually enables people who have 1099 income to pursue commercial and residential transactions.
Correct. Correct. It's something that I came up with a long time ago in the private lending sector, but I decided that it was time to start promoting it now as the economy started to have clay feet. And so real estate professionals in my submarket, I can help them get loans on their home and teach them how to do that. So yes, I'm very excited about that. And we can have a program on that. Let's see, 1099 loans. That's a great idea. Another thing is that we're going to have a new service that we're going to be offering at Sandstone. I'm not really able to really to describe it real well yet on an elevator speech, but it has a lot to do with construction defect and insurance recovery, and in this particular case, also business interruption insurance. So we're going to be talking about that in coming weeks as well, and so that'll be another great topic for us.
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear about that because, you know, you offer a full-scale advisory, and I'm not sure that everybody understands all of the things that you are capable of doing and how you do connect people together to make transactions happen and to, again, just make things better for the world around you, for Miami, for the community. That comes through in every piece of what you're doing. And I would love for us to be able to talk about interest rate and, you know, along with your, with the 1099 program, because
you're a financial genius. Well, interest rates, we can't, thank you. Interest rates, we can't, thank you. Interest rates, we can't discuss because of federal regulations, but I can tell people that their rate will be basically related to the level of risk that we assess, but we are able to use a bunch of techniques, and I work with incredible loan people at different banks and high net worth lenders. And in fact, a lot of those 1099 loans are going to get done with banks, believe it or not. So it's going to be real exciting. We'll be able to help people keep their cost of capital down. Maybe somebody's in the double digits. We'll be able to get them in a single digit somewhere. So it's going to be very exciting. With that, we're going to be working with a lot of condo associations regarding their repairs and the things that they need to have happen. So we're going to become much friendlier with the condo associations coming up. We're going to have, like I said, this gentleman, Alan Garfinkel, on, whose specialty is condo associations, representing them and making life better for people living in the community associations. He actually founded the Association of the Community Associations. I'm still associating with what that's associated to be. I couldn't resist. I had to have a little fun. But Becca, you're tremendous. You know, we're going to have the show with you and Andres working in the new economy, the new world. We've been training for it for a long time. Last night I was watching one of the more mainstream media outlets as they were covering the primaries, and there was a young person on, and the person was talking about how this is the second recession that she's had to deal with in 10 years and how she's angry. What a crazy person. This is the sixth or seventh that I've had to endure. And all it is it's a change in what goes on. It's just a way to look at things. It's a way to, God willing, make them better for yourself. And what I learned from each recession is to have another different kind of bullet in my gun so that when the recession comes, I can be ready. I'm always looking for the downturn. The downturn actually creates more opportunities than the upswing. So I'm excited about what's going on. I'm evolving. To me, it's evolution. A word that I wrote down that I'd like to use is poise. Poise, I think, is very important. Regan and I had a lesson in that this morning when we were trying to get everything done. We were 3 minutes late on taking off, but we did it as best we could. We used poise. The show went on. We've got the tape. We have Casey Conway at the moment. That thing should be put in a time capsule, what we did with KC. It's tremendous. He talks about all the different things he tells the Federal Reserve governors. It's like you're on the top of the information stack, and he'll be on again. I love the man. Personally, not just as a business person. When we had the hurricane, he made sure that he sent down this halo generator so we could always have electric. He's amazing. A wonderful, loving, kind, gentle person, and he always wears red shoes. I love that. So, Beck, what do we got coming up here? Let's tease some stuff for some people before we wrap up today's show. What are we going to do? What are some new things, some new ideas that we're kicking around with Christy? We're going to learn how to use Facebook and Zoom Live better. We're going to have Twitter, which today is broadcasting the back of my head, but next week will be broadcasting my face, primarily because we didn't think it was going to work. It didn't work last week. We've got YouTube, which we're rocking on YouTube. You, me, and Christy are figuring out Instagram. However hard they try to stop us at the gates, us barbarians are going to get through. We're going to work on Facebook. Someday we'll get permission to be a broadcaster on LinkedIn. You know, when they, well, they give permission. They allow it, but you got to get permission. We should try to figure out how to get permission, Beck. Let's see. So that's Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. That's the big five. Okay, thank you. So yep. I'm very excited. And we're going to make a suite of stuff. Now, we're talking about how the each one of those different channels is consumed differently by different people, and we need to speak to them differently, and sometimes they have different names. Extra work for you and Christy. You know, we always had that thing where we demanded the people told us their social media handles. You got to send that to me again so I give the pre-guest checklist so we have everything we need, all the different where there are on social media, what they call themselves, so I can just have a cheat sheet and do it. That's something we should have. We should do pre-show social media. Yes, it was easy for me to say. Pre-show social media. that me, you, and Christy can do bouncing and back and forth, because I got hit today at like 11:55. Hey, you should talk to us on this. I don't know how to do that fast enough to do it that way, you know? So it's very exciting to have you on the team and to have Regan on the team. And now we've had the first curveball of 880 going out of business. Then we had the second curveball of Jolt Radio being not appropriate for us. And now we're working on building this from the ground up, this great technology that we're going to have. And then we have the people come in and they see that Regan and you and me can do this. And then they're going to want to participate even more. People want to come on. And guess what I'm telling them? I'm telling them, no. If you only saw some of the people that I was telling no to, you'd absolutely lose your mind. And it's not people that I'm trying to keep out of my network. It's just that their content isn't as relevant as other people I have, because what's going on? We're on the exponential part of everything now. And so, Becca, you're tremendous. I think you and Christy should start a social media blog that talks about what we're doing on the page, and then you can circulate that too. Oh, that's just an idea in currency. I just came up with that. I'm pretty good.
I love that.
People saw me thinking right on YouTube just now. So what's the last thing you want to say, Beck? And I love you. This is a big shout out to Christy Nickel, who's the one that always makes me look good under the auspices and direction and partnership with Becca. Without Christy, Christy's actually the fingers on the keyboard. So, Beck, what are we going to do next? I gave the shout out to Christy. Anybody else we should shout out to, or what else should we do here?
You know what? I think we do want to give a shout out to next week, because, you know, we all need to understand how we can use technology as a tool to make our clients' lives better. And that's what the show is going to be about next week. So I want to highlight same bat time, same bat channel.
Start making that up. Get the stuff out. Get a couple of good tweets that we can recirculate, and get the right hashtags. Get everything teed up, and we'll start working on socializing. And for next week, we'll get Andreas on. I'm sure our friends at the broker list will circulate it. We'll get all our thought leaders on. And we'll go from there. We're going to get all of the thought leaders on. We're going to get them all focused. I think we should also maybe talk with our friends at the News Funnel to get everybody focused on how to work at home together. That's the title. Oh, that's it. That's going to be next week's How to Work at Home Together. I think that's amazing. What do you think, Beck?
I love it.
I did it again.
You wrote a headline.
Oh, you're the best. Listen, I want to thank our friends that have been with us to make the show great. Christy Nickel on the finger keyboard, Becca Carlson here on the show, Casey Conway, who people heard it was real scratchy, so you're going to have to go to our website. It's not a trick. We're trying to figure out the technology. We're doing the best we can. Believe me, we'd like to have you hear all of them today. I wish I could have invited everybody that I invite every week, but I couldn't do it on the new Facebook interface. So we're going to figure a lot of that stuff out. So stick with us as we evolve with you. Oh, I love it. Nailed it right between the lines. We're here evolving with you. Remember, the person wants to do something, finds a way. The other just doesn't do it. So get out there and make it happen. This is Jim Fried, Becca Carlson, and of course, Regan Mendoza. Give it a hear. That's right. We're doing the coronavirus fist bump with Regan. We'll be back next week. We're going to have more technology, better technology, and we're going to talk about how we can all work together online, make the world a better place. God bless you all. I'll talk to everybody next week. Woohoo to Becca. We're out of here.